And that guy said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I said, don't worry about it. Lowe's made me fill out an accident report and all that good stuff. And I told him, I said, I'm not going to the doctor unless it just won't quit bleeding. And it needed about 5 stitches, but us men, we don't, nah, I'm not that tough. But I did grab it and put it back together. Somebody looked at me when I brought the stuff here, and they said, "Well, I can tell you're a coal miner." And I said, "Why?" And they said, "Well, looks like you got black tape all around your finger there." I said, "Well, I've got a Tudor's Biscuit World napkin covered with black electrical tape." So that done the trick. It did stop bleeding after 2 days, and then it's getting back together. So I think I'm going to be able to move it. I could almost play my bass normal this morning, so I'm getting where I'm wiggle it. That's a good sign. But accidents happen, and that's what I told Lowe's. I said, you know, it's an accident. Those things happen, and I'm not out after anything. I said, you don't have to worry about me. I'm not out after your store, your job, or anything. And I even told the guy that it happened. I said, if they give you a hard time and threaten your job, you call me. I said, I'll come vouch for you, because they don't need to be mad at you. And so with that said, the Lord's been good. He's been just blessing it every day to come together. And it's right at the point now to where it's just looking like a big scar. So and that's just been less than a week. That was probably maybe Wednesday that I did that. And so it's been less than a week, and it's already looking real good. So I just give the Lord all the praise and all the glory. Let's give the Lord another mighty hand clap. Amen. Amen. We're looking forward to the service today. It's raining outside. I want it to rain on the inside. I want the Spirit of the Lord to start moving. Hallelujah. I want to feel the power of the Holy Ghost begin to touch each and every one as we are here. Could we stand and just go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to move in a mighty way? Lord, we come before Your presence, and we thank You, Lord, for each and every one that is gathered here. We're thankful, Lord, that You are our God. You are our help. You are our hope. Everything we need, we find in You. I pray, Lord, that You would continue to touch each and every one. Sister Sue, that You would continue to touch her. I pray that You would touch Sister Diane with strength and peace. And I pray, Lord, that You would move in a mighty way for those, Lord, in this community and surrounding area, that You will begin to just draw them, Lord, to You. As we have come today to lift You up, Lord, I pray that everything we say and do will bring honor unto You. I pray that You will be honored by our worship and our praise. And Lord, I love You. I thank and praise You for everything, for it's in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen. Let's give a mighty hand clap one more time. Let's make our webcast audience feel welcome. The church in the back. Amen. And I always call them the church in the balcony at Phelps, because our equipment's up in a balcony, and so I call it the church in the back there. So we appreciate them joining us today. We're going to sing a few songs, and then we're going to have prayer requests, and then we're going to take up an offering. And
joyful noise
unto the Lord,
unto the Lord,
make a joyful noise,
make a joyful noise
unto the Lord,
unto the Lord. You ought to praise the Lord while you have a chance. We've come to praise Him. We've come to praise Him. We've come to praise Him. Lift His holy name.
Oh, make a joyful noise.
Make a joyful noise. Joyful noise
unto the Lord,
unto the Lord. You ought to praise the Lord while you have the chance. We've come to praise Him. We've come to praise Him. we've come to praise Him, lift His holy name. We've come to praise Him, we've come to praise Him, we've come to praise Him, lift His holy name. Stop praising His name, I just can't stop praising His name, I just can't stop praising His name, Jesus. So lift up your voice and sing for joy. Clap your hands, make a joyful noise. Blow the trumpet and shout. Praise Him for your victory. The weapons we use are not bombs and guns. Worship is the way a battle is won. This is the way we fight. Praise Him for your victory. And I just can't stop,
I can't stop
praising His name, I just can't stop praising His name, I just can't stop praising His name, Jesus. And I just can't stop,
I can't stop
praising His name, I just can't stop praising His name, I just can't stop praising His name, Jesus. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord forever. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord forever. And I just can't stop,
I can't stop
praising His name, I just can't stop praising His name, I just can't stop praising His name, Jesus. And I just can't stop,
I can't stop
praising His name, I just can't stop praising His name, I just can't stop praising His name, Jesus. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord forever. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord forever. And I just can't stop,
I can't stop
praising His name, I just can't stop praising His name, I just can't stop praising His name, Jesus. And I just can't stop,
I can't stop praising His name, I just can't stop praising His name, I just can't stop praising His name, Jesus.
Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I just can't stop praising His name. We're going to ask Brother Jordan to come. We're going to take up today's offering and give us the Lord blesses you, because once we learn the blessing of giving, we understand that we can't outgive God.
Amen.
And I like to find people who like to try to outgive God. That's spoken like a true pastor, isn't it? I like to find people that tries to outgive God, because they can't do it, but they will, keep trying. But we certainly appreciate all who give. May the Lord bless you. Brother Jordan. Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen, amen.
Light of the world, highly exalted, glorious.
If you believe that, give a hand clap unto the Lord.
It is a city, no need of the sun, because Jesus is the light of the city. Amen. When you got Jesus as the light, you don't have to have any artificial stuff. I'd like to say there's no artificial light in the house of God. There's no artificial light. We need Jesus to shine. We need Jesus to shine. Amen. And as He shines, we know that there's going to be truth that's just going to shine from wall to wall, front to back. 1,500 miles long. Man, what a city that is going to be. And if you have your Bibles today, I just want to talk a little bit about that city. Because, you know, people talk a lot about cities that are in the earth. Some people says, I'd like to go to Chicago. Some people says, well, I'd like to, you know, maybe go to this city, Los Angeles. I always thought I'd like to just take off and go to New Orleans, go to Los Angeles, go maybe to Washington State and Seattle area and all of that. But, you know, my heart is to go to a city whose builder and maker is God. Church home. So that's why I want to be ready. I want to be ready. I want to be ready for that meeting in the air. Oh, there's going to be a meeting, and I want to be ready for it. John said, no sorrow, no crying. There's not going to be any pain because the former things are passed away. Everything that we endure upon this earth, we're not going to have to endure in heaven. In fact, I don't even believe the word endure is going to be mentioned in heaven. We are to endure to the end down here, but I believe when we get to heaven, there'll be no endurance. We're just going to have one long day of rejoicing. Oh, I wish I had somebody that believed that with me, that there's going to be one long day of rejoicing. We're not going to have to worry about enduring. It's not going to be enduring another message. It's not going to be enduring another day at work. It's not going to be enduring another day at school, but when we get to heaven, it's going to be rejoicing and shouting and praising Him all throughout eternity. What a day. What a place. What a promise that He has given us. He that sat upon the throne. Notice it didn't say them that sat upon the throne. Have you ever noticed in our world today that there is a push to take away the identity of a he or a she and call them a them? It's a sad situation that they're trying to make a transient religion. They're trying to cross everything over. It's trying to pull away from the true sayings of God and the truth and the faithful sayings of God. And it's a transient thing that's happening. It's changing. It's always changing. People will come up with a new church or a new ideology and they'll start saying, well, we learned something new now and we worship the Lord different now, or we have a different Bible, or we have a different way of serving the Lord. But no, it's the same way. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. I'm glad that His sayings are true and faithful. I don't have to worry about Him changing it. I don't have to worry about me missing out on something. I believe the world today that we're living in feels like they're kind of missing out on something. It's kind of feeling like that maybe, oh, we just ask too much of people, and they're missing out on happiness, and they're missing out on their childhood, and they're missing out on their teenage years. And I've even heard some older folks with very unwise advice tell people, just go out and be young and enjoy yourself, because one day you're going to get old like me. But I'd like to say, no, remember thy Creator in in the days of thy youth. Before the evil day comes and you say you have no pleasure in them. We got to reach out to our young people. We got to reach out to the Sunday school age and the teenage and even the age of the old age. Every age needs Jesus. And I believe that if we will come together and we will start lifting up Jesus Christ, he said that if he's lifted up, that he will draw all men unto him. A church on fire will draw people if they're doing nothing but watching it burn. A church on fire will draw people even if they want to sit on a seat and just gawk and look. But somebody has got to say, I want to be more than a spectator. I want to be more than just a church attender. I want to be in the presence of Almighty God and feel the power of the Holy Ghost. Somebody give a praise unto the Lord. Woo! I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. His words are true and faithful. He spoke these words to John. We got to remember, John is banished on an isle called Patmos. Patmos is a barren place. There's no choir singing at Patmos. There's no keyboardist, Sister Belinda, on Patmos. There's no beautiful people of God shaking hands, hugging necks, telling each other they love you on the Isle of Patmos. Patmos was a barren place that people were exiled to, who was given a life sentence, because when you went to Patmos, you was there for life. And we find that John finds himself on the isle called Patmos. And if you read your Bible, I pray that you do, because everybody knows it's a fascinating book. And if you read your Bible, the fascinating book it is, it begins to say that John was on the Isle of Patmos for the word of the Lord. You see, sometimes the word will get you a little persecution. Sometimes when you stand and you tell people what you believe, maybe they don't want to hear it. And they might look at you and say, I know the Bible says that, but I don't believe it that way. Well, we got to believe it that way, because that's what's going to judge us. Amen. John said, I am your brother. So he was letting each and every one know that he was not only our brother, but a companion in tribulation. He had been through some stuff. He was going through some stuff. And it was for the name of Jesus Christ, for the word of God, and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He said, but there's something happened one day. Remember, I'm on Patmos. There's no church on Patmos. There's no church on Patmos. There's nobody that says 2 o'clock service on Patmos. But Patmos is a place where nobody goes to church. Nobody gathers together. Nobody congregates. It's all misery and all just hopelessness and all despair. But John said, I'm not going to be like everybody else on Patmos. I got to tell somebody, we got to be different from the world. I got to help somebody understand there's a lot in Patmos today that we don't need to be like. But here's what happened. John said, I know everybody around me is hopeless, but I still got some hope. I know everybody around me is overwhelmed, but I'm not overwhelmed. I know everybody feels despair, but I'm not in despair. Because it was on this day I was in the Spirit. How many can get in the Spirit when you've been given a life sentence on Patmos? This is where we either love the Lord or pretend to love the Lord. There's going to be times in our lives that Brother Bryant, we're just going to have to say, I love the Lord and I'm going to serve Him anyhow. I'm going on with my Jesus anyhow. I may go through something. You may have to go through something. I may have to go through something. But guess what? We're going to love Jesus anyway. Because I found some hope in the midst of hopelessness. When I go out in this world and I see people crying and people just in despair, and even the guy that pulled that piece of sheeting and my finger got cut, he was expecting me to be mad at him. And I wasn't mad at him. I showed him mercy. And I showed him grace because I needed mercy and grace. Why shouldn't I show mercy and grace? And I just looked at him and I said, it's okay. And he said, buddy, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I've worked at this job, and he told me how long and all this, and he went through his whole thing, and he said, it's never happened. I said, that's why they call them accidents. Any other time, it'd be on purpose. So as long as you didn't do it on purpose, I'm good. But I told him, I said, don't worry about it. And he was just shocked at that. I went back the next day to pick up some more lumber. He saw me sitting in my truck waiting to be loaded, and I seen him. He took about two steps toward me, and then he took an exit, and I waited about 5 or 10 minutes, and here he come with a buddy, and he said, oh, I saw it was you, and I wanted to make sure I had somebody help me load it. He said, so that's why you saw me leave. And I said, that's okay. I don't have any problem with that. He said, buddy, I'm sorry. I don't know how that happened, and I hate that it happened. I said, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Because, you see, this world don't have hope. You know, so what? It's a busted finger, but it could have been a busted life. It could have been a busted, family. It could have been busted in other ways that people would have just looked and said, well, there is no hope for the Christian. There is no hope. But if we as Christians don't show mercy and grace and kindness to the world, who's going to show it to them? I want to show them kindness. Here is John on the Isle of Patmos, no choir, surrounded by hopelessness, surrounded by despair, surrounded by all sorts of complaints and murmuring. Here we are, same day. We wake up every day, same old thing going on. We go to bed at night, same old thing. Here we are on this barren desert place. But John said something that really sparked faith in me. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He never forgot, even though he's on Patmos, he never forgot when the Lord's day was. Even though he's banished for life, he never forgot when the Lord's day was. The Bible says that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I don't believe this was a one and done. I think he got in the Spirit every Lord's Day. I think at this time, though, while he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, some great revelation came to him. So I'd like to say that sometimes while we're on our Patmos out in this world and we're walking around and we're seeing hopelessness on the left hand and hopelessness on the right hand, and we just had our president talk about a pride, not just a pride day, but a pride week, a pride month, and a pride year, and even pride every day. That's what he said. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Have we really the White House to people's houses to where abomination has now been accepted, hopelessness is now the norm, and people that don't have any sight of any future, of anything getting any better? Why is there so many homeless people out in San Francisco? Why is there so many people lining the streets of New York? Why is there so many people trying to get into our country? I tell you why they want into our country. It's because this is the best country on earth, and they want to come into a place where they can have more. But somebody ought to realize that on Patmos everything looks hopeless and there's no good. Nothing good ever happens on Patmos. But John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I'd like to think that whatever I'm going through, I always remember when church time is. I'm going to say that again so our internet audience can hear. I'd like to say that no matter what I'm going through, I'd like to always remember when church time is. I'd like to always remember how to get in the Spirit. You see, some people's forgot how to get in the Spirit. They just think, well, I'm going to wait till something happens. No, you'd be waiting a long time. You may be waiting a long time. You gotta say, I'm going to get in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I'm going to pray until I pray through. I'm going to pray until I get an answer. I'm going to pray until I feel Him. Amen. Patmos is a lonely place, but John said, I ain't letting this surrounding discourage me from having church. I'll have church all by myself if I have to. Amen. You can pray if you're the only one praying. You say, well, my family don't pray. My family don't want nothing to do with Jesus. My family don't want me to come to church. Well, you just keep praying, because you never know when all of a sudden the Lord's going to just open up heaven and reveal something to you. John, what are you doing praying? Look at John. He looks so silly over there. Everybody else is over here and just sin and all sorts of stuff going on. And John's over there praying, and he's praying and he's praying. But you know what? Patmos is so close to the mainland that, how many knows when you are traveling? I think it's 20-some miles or something around there from Patmos to the mainland. How many knows that when you look out way down the road at night when it's pitch dark, you can see when you're ready to come up on a city? It might be 20 miles away. I can see glows behind the mountain. Like when I travel and I'm coming from Western Kentucky, and I'm getting ready to head into Lexington or somewhere, I say, oh, I see the lights of the city. And I know I'm getting closer to home. And that's the way we ought to be. We ought to say, I see the lights of the city. I'm getting closer to home. Because I realize that this world, this Patmos that we're surrounded with, has no hope and nothing good is happening. But John said, I was in the Spirit. I want to get in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Amen. I want to sing in the Spirit. I want to play an instrument in the Spirit. I want to preach under the anointing of the Spirit. I want the Spirit of the Lord to be in the house so that we all leave here saying, I feel better. Oh, so much better. I feel better since I went into the house of the Lord. No wonder David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. There's something about Patmos that John said, I got to get in the Spirit, because I'm surrounded by nothing. I'm surrounded by nothing but hopelessness, helplessness, people that don't have any sense of how to get in contact with God. But I'm going to get in the Spirit on the Lord's day. The Bible says that when he got in the Spirit on the Lord's day, he heard behind him a great voice, as the voice of, and everybody say trumpet. Trumpet. Now this is important. How many remembers back when the children of Israel were at the base of the mountain? Moses was going to go up in the mountain. He was going to talk to God and get the Ten Commandments, of course. We know that there was more than Ten Commandments, but he went to get the commandments. And they are at the base of the mountain. They're given strict instruction. Don't you touch the base of this mountain, or whoever touches it, man or beast, you will die. So they all stood back a little bit from the base, and they just sat there. And what they didn't know was the voice speaking to Moses sounded like a trumpet to them. Read your Bible. It's a fascinating book. It sounded like a trumpet to them. That's all they thought they heard was a trumpet. And they're sitting there and they're seeing, the mountain quake and all that. And they hear a trumpet. We see that when they go and they march into Jericho, as they're going around the city, the priests are to blow with the trumpet. I believe it was to remind the children of Israel, what you heard at the base of the mountain that sounded like a trumpet is actually the voice of God telling you, keep on going. Now, I'd like to say that, because this is exactly what John heard. Because John said that I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. You see, God wants to encourage us. That's why when you hear somebody speaking in tongues, it's not to sit there and look at them and say, oh man, they're getting a blessing. It's to encourage you to say, God is real. He's true. He's faithful. He's going to see us through. He's going to help us overcome. He's going to get me through and out of my mess. He's going to give me strength. He's going to give me joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. So he heard a trumpet. It was a voice, a great voice, as of a trumpet. Here's what it said, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. I thought it was interesting that here's a guy on Patmos that's still sending out letters, bulletins, if you will, Brother Jordan, bulletins to the churches. Here the churches are having church. He can see the lights of the city from far off. They're having church on the Lord's Day, and here he is on Patmos. And the Lord's saying, you go ahead and you just start giving this. You write everything you see in a book and you give it to each one of the churches, because every church needs to know what you're seeing, John. You may be on Patmos. People may say you've lost your mind. People may say this, just no way this could be. But you write in it and you tell them what you are seeing. And that's when he started to write. And he began to write and he began to write. And the Lord began to reveal things to him. And then we find just in the latter part of the chapter where it says that there was a new heaven and a new earth. There must have been some hope, not only for the churches in Asia, but it must have been some hope for John himself to know that Patmos was not his home, that Patmos was not his destitute situation and destiny, but Patmos was only a stopping place between here and heaven. Patmos, some of us are in our Patmos right now. It's not your destiny. It's not what you're going to find yourself in. It's just a stepping stone between here and heaven. Whatever you're going through is just a stepping stone between here and heaven. Woo. Everybody remembers Joseph. Joseph was loved of his daddy so much that they made him a coat of many colors. Dolly Parton sung about it, you know. she didn't sing about it. She sung about her coat of many colors, which come from the story of Joseph. But anyway, we find that Joseph was placed in a pit and then sold by his own brothers. We find that that pit was not a good place to be. But Joseph still loved God. We find that he gets sold and taken into a foreign place, but he still loves God. He's still trying to serve God to the best of his ability. Even when he's false accused and lied on and they try to destroy his reputation, he still says, I love Jesus. He goes to prison loving Jesus. Then he gets out and he's placed really in second command, only second unto Pharaoh. Thinking about that, I think about sometimes our destiny is not where we find ourselves right now. Because number one, your destiny's not to get a retirement. Your destiny's not to have a big bank account. Your destiny's not to have this, that, or the other. Your destiny is to make heaven. That's our destiny. Everybody say heaven is my destiny. That's where I'm headed. That's where I'm going. I'm not looking for anything permanent down here, because there's coming fire and brimstone that's going to destroy everything, even this church house. As much work as we put into it, as much as we prayed over it, and as much as we've dedicated to the Lord, guess what? It's going to burn with everything else. But my destiny is heaven. It's a place where there'll be no former things are going to be remembered. We're not going to have any sorrow, any hardships, any disappointments. Nobody's going to ruin our reputation. Nobody's going to tear you down. Nobody's going to stop you from getting anything, because the Lord's going to prepare it all for you. And everything that He's prepared for us, He's going to give to us, because He is true and He is faithful. Everything He said in His Word that is waiting on us, it's true and it is faithful. Every time the devil comes along, the Bible says the devil is a liar and the father of it. But every time he comes along and tries to tell somebody, you might as well give up. You might as well quit serving God. What's the use to go to church? Your life's still miserable. You ought to say, wait a minute, devil. This world is not my home. It's only a stepping stone to my destiny. I may have some problems, but I'm going to where there'll be no problems. Devil, you're going to a place called hell. You'll be in torment for eternity. I'm not going there. Somebody ought to say, I'm not going there. My destiny is heaven. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. My destiny is heaven. I gotta make it. More than fame, wealth, or desire, more than all this world's attire, more than anything, I've got to make it. The pace, Savior's face, more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. More than anything in my life, I've got to make it. But all to come. Back, he that overcometh. Now, this is a very important verse, because verse 7 of chapter 21 says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. Notice it said, he that overcometh, not he that gives it a good try, not he that's connected with the good old boys, not he that just has, you know, things that swinging in his favor. But he said, those that overcome. Overcoming means everything. What do I need to overcome? Well, what is it that's trying to hinder you from making your destiny? Whatever's trying to hinder you from getting to heaven, that is what you need to overcome. Somebody says, well, you know what? I need to overcome some temptations, things that is thrown in my way. Well, you need to overcome that. It could be temptations, it could be trials, it could be troubles, it could be all sorts of things. But he said, to him that overcometh, I think it's important. To him that overcometh, he says, here's what I'm going to do. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. To him that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God. Sometimes we read this, the verbiage, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We've heard that, right? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I want to say he's my God. I'm glad he was the God of Abraham. I'm glad he was the God of Jacob and Isaac. I'm glad he was the God of Paul and John. But I'm glad he's my God. If he's your God, let's just stand right now and let's just lift our hands and let's just thank him for being true and faithful.